it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our man Teron Davenport to the program from ESPN, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. TD, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How's everything with you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, TD, I'll just start here with a very simple question. From the time the season ended back in January until now, given the fact that most of the offseason work is done for the Titans, how much better is this football team in your mind?
Wow, that's a really good question. On paper, they look better. It looks like they improved in multiple areas, but that's just on paper. I think you really get your answer, obviously, once the games start to be played. But one thing that they still have is just that degree of instability. And they have to find a way to just get everything in order and just not have this turnover. I think that's been the catalyst for this organization's failure. And I mean, it seems like Mike Borgonzi, Robert Saleh, these guys in place, bring some of that stability that they need, but it's hard to say they've gotten any better because we haven't seen them play. And then also it's more of the same with Chad Brinker stepping down.
Yeah. Well, and you know, how do you assess that, TD? I mean, you know, it does look like, you know, whatever, however you want to call it, I don't know about demotion, but sort of kicked upstairs, out of personnel. I think it seemed to make sense at the time, but also, you know, you wondered, like, is that going to be something that he's going to be happy about? And, you know, it just sounds like, according to his statement, you know, he wants to be in personnel, so he's going out. He kind of got elevated, but then sort of pigeonholed. Or do you think there is more to it than that? And do you think it's important that the Titans go out the way they have this structured and go get someone significant to fill that role?
Another really good question. I think it's in essence what you outlined, and it was a matter of what he initially wanted to do was cede control of the roster. I don't think he realized how much doing that was going to remove him from personnel decisions. I don't think that was the case, but at the same time, I think this organization needs to kind of follow the structure that a lot of the league uses, where you have ownership, GM, the head coach, and it's just that hierarchy, and that's the way things work. I don't think they could afford to have so many chefs in the kitchen anymore. I think they're in a situation where they don't need to go out and get somebody and bring them in that president of football operations role. Obviously, Bryce Wasserman is a guy that's been around and you know, he's kind of in charge of football operation right now, so to speak, you know, by title. But I don't think they should bring anybody in.
No, I'm totally with you there. So, TD, on the Tate front, let's assume for the moment, which may be a big assumption on my part, that Calvin Ridley is healthy and remains relatively healthy throughout the year. What do you think the Titans have now with their receiving core, with Tate coming in, potentially a healthy Ridley, obviously the addition of Robinson, and then DK and Io Manor in the maybe the four or five spots, depending on what happens. Who knows? Maybe they end up ascending in bigger roles than that. What do you make of this receiving core now with Tate added to it?
Yeah, I think it's solid, and that's especially as long as Tate could develop into that downfield threat. And obviously they like him for more than just that, but he has to be that X for them and be a difference maker. And I think when you look at it, it's a pretty well-balanced group, right, because you have Calvin Ridley and you have Wandale Robinson. I think Wandale Robinson is going to be a key part of this, just in moving the chains and giving everybody extra opportunities, you know, with more series, more plays in, within series. So that's good. Iron Man and DK, you know, let's see if they develop. But I think DK is a guy that they can really use in a lot of different ways and across the formation, you know. And I like what they have. I'm not going to say it's a complete group because, you know, there's still a lot of question marks. But I think they've put themselves in position to have a very a solid group of guys.
If there's one guy other than Cam Ward, TD, this is something we talked about this week. If you had to pick a player on this team, you know, we'll set Cam Ward aside as a quarterback. You know, he's obviously the most important, but who would be your next guy in terms of if this player, you know, has a great year that dictates team success slash if he struggles, that's really going to hurt the Titans. Who's the most important player after Cam Ward in terms of the Titans needing this guy to have a great season?
That one's easy. I hate to take the easy way out, but I mean, it's Jeffrey Simmons. We know that he and Cam Ward, those are the faces of the franchise. So I would go Simmons, and you know, to a lesser degree, I really think Tate has a key role. I really do.
No, I did. Tate was my answer. Like, I think, you know, we all know Simmons is a great player, but like, I think in terms of if they're going to take a significant step in win total, there's a lot that goes into it, TD, as you know, but like if Tate is what they hope he is, that's a big deal for this offense, particularly when you're talking about most of the moves in free agency that took place on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm with you on the Tate front there. You know, I will say the one thing on defense right now, TD, that I'm looking at that kind of scares the crap out of me. Like if they get one injury right now at corner, I'm worried to death about it. Like they really need to stay healthy at corner this year.
They really do. You're right about that. That's something that's going to be critical to their success because they put themselves in a position where, like you said, one injury and that whole dynamic changes. That's for sure. So I think, you know, let's see how these undrafted guys work. Let's see if somebody shakes free because, you know, when asked about the offensive line, Mike Bergonzi said they weren't done. But I think that whole second free agency part of it, that could apply to, you know, the cornerbacks too. You know, you don't know who's going to come free come June 1st. You know what I mean? So, hey, yep. We'll see.
You know, one guy, when we did this thing the other day, I thought about it later, and it's, I don't think we talked much about this guy, and it's actually an answer I wish I would have given, because I really think that if Kevin Winston emerges, that could really make a difference. And again, I mean, it's within the structure of the defense, a lot of guys who are important, but what do you think is realistic for him, TD, here in year two, and the way that safety tandem could complement each other?
Yeah, I think the first thing is health. Right? He's got to get healthy and show that he could maintain his health. But I think realistic is for him to, you know, be a steady contributor, to be a guy that, honestly, I think he needs to eventually grow into that nickel role. But that's not something that they're looking at for him right now. So, I mean, if you want stats, I would say, you know, 60 to 70 tackles, 2 interceptions, you know, get his hands on some, you know, PBUs, that kind of thing. But it's hard to really put a projection on any of that because right now the thing that you really got to hope for if you're a Titans fan or if you're that staff or, you know, you have a root and interest in the team is that he's healthy.
TD, last thing for you here. What do you think of the Nick Singleton pick, and how viable of an option do you think he could be if he can stay healthy to have a significant role in the offense at some point in his rookie year.
Good one, Robbie. I think that's a really good pick. I think there's value there. He's a guy that, scores a lot of touchdowns. And as Dave Ziegler said, as far as his, ability to catch the football and be a presence in the passing game, I think when you look at that, that's a part that's untapped. And he talked about that when I asked him at the press conference, the Zoom, and he said that's an area that he feels that he could show. So to me, I think, it's a guy that gives them the potential for stability beyond this year, because we know Tajay Spears, Tony Pollard, those guys are, they're not under contract right now beyond 2026. So I think it was a wise pick. I was surprised they picked a running back, because I know, they kind of alluded to not really having much stock in the running backs, obviously after Jeremiah Love, but here it is, they got one, and I think Singleton is a good one.
Yeah, he's really intriguing. TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, for sure, man. I appreciate you guys. Take care. God bless.
Absolutely, you as well. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. We will react to what TD had to say on the Titans. Take your questions on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works. Raise a glass with Tennessee Brew Works, proud partner and official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. By the way, Ed on the YouTube chat saying that breaking, the root cause of gout, eating at restaurants with health code violations. Joe, I've developed something I like to call the gout gauge index, which works similar to the Richter scale. And I think this weekend, we're at an elevated risk, is how I would describe it, for the gout coming up this weekend. Feel like graduation, a lot of things could happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had the olive burger, and the peanut barrel olive burger, it's a big burger. It's a lot of red meat. And then I also had a Labatt, because, I mean, you can't come up here and not have a Labatt. So that's beer and red meat.
The index is rising as we speak.
Now, last night, we got chicken wings. So that was a good easing, because like Ed said, eating at restaurants with health code violations. I said, well, actually, I got the chicken parm at that Italian restaurant that had just had a health code violation. So of course, that was also way before I ever even knew what gout was, actually. But still, I got the chicken parm. But you're right. It is elevated risk. And so I've got to make sure, stay away from the beer, stay away from the red meat, stay away from the shellfish, and I think we'll be all right. I mean, you have to have the olive burger when you come here. You have to.
What are the chances that you're going to encounter one of our good friends on this program, Tom Izzo, this weekend?
Yeah, possible. I mean, he'll probably be at the thing today, So, we'll see. We'll see if we run into him, but nothing planned. I wasn't gonna bother. I mean, I should. He probably should go over to Wells Hall and yell at some people and, be like, how the hell did you allow a meth lab to to exist in your building?
We got any security around here? Good grief.
We had a love fest. Yeah. We all kind of gathered around. We hugged each other.
Yeah, I mean, for all I know, he'll probably, come down. He'll, parasail to mid-court or something today during graduation. So we'll see.
That would be intense. That would be intense. Interesting to get TD's thoughts there on kind of the state of the Titans after what we've seen this offseason. I mean, he's right about the instability thing. Sounds like TD doesn't really want them to go out and hire somebody else for this role. And frankly, I kind of agree with him. I'd rather see them just go, hey, have your GM, have your head coach, and then go from there. However, Joe, if they do that, it just tells us what all a sham all this stuff was over the last couple of years.
Right. I mean, if they actually don't go do, go get someone significant for this supposedly significant job, yeah, then it's basically like, okay, well, so Amy just started to like Mike more, and it's like, what do I do with Chad? I mean, that would I shouldn't say it'll boggle my mind, but it's exactly what it would say, and it would just be another just total facepalm moment for the Titans. Now, as PK said, then if you go with the son-in-law, then and he made a great point on that. I hope he's listening. See, a compliment for PK.
Yeah,
which is like if that's who it is, then it gets into you just elevate the office politics and everything, with the being in his favor. Yeah, it's all that stuff. But I assumed Chad Brinker was doing a lot of important work here in the last months and years, right?
I hope so.
I don't know. I don't know. That'll be very interesting to see how that all goes down. If it turns out to be basically it was just like a – well, I guess it's sort of like when, like, Kentucky kicks its AD upstairs and gives them $1 million to do nothing a year. I guess we do see this in sports some, don't we?
It's a great job. If you can get that, that's a
great
gig. I know,
right? Man, how can I get there?
Yeah, exactly. No, I would like to see them go back to kind of that traditional way of doing things. But I understand, like, right now, it's looking like you're either, like, if you go back, you're going to get criticism for the way you handled the last couple of years. If they hire Bryce Wasserman, it's going to be everything you just said of, oh, cool, so the son-in-law is in there. That's great. That'll work out nicely. So, like, to me, you either go back and go back to the way the setup was and you deal with the short-term criticism about how you've handled it the last couple of years and move on, or you go make some really good hire for this role, right? Like, if it's that important, like, don't you have to go outside the organization and bring in somebody, or who knows, maybe somebody in the organization. But if people keep bringing up these assistant GMs to come do this role, well, don't they want to be in personnel? Yeah. Like, I don't think they're going to want to do that.
Right. That's not who you would get. They've got enough of those guys that are on Borgonzi's team, right?
Yeah.
So, no, that role is, I mean, it's a Steve Underwood type, right? I mean, it's like, things other than personnel, which again, and so I don't know. I mean, they have people doing those things too. Like I don't know. I don't understand the structure. I think it probably makes sense if you just keep it to this. There are other parts of the job that have to be important. But there are other people who get paid a lot of money in that organization too, to do various things. So, I'm just throwing my hand, but no, it will not be someone like that, because that's that job that he had clearly was not touching personnel anymore.
Yeah, maybe Trey Avery. What's he doing nowadays? we've hired Trey to come in and run our president and football operations side of things. We're looking forward to it.
Have you considered Trey Avery for this job? Have you possibly? Love you, Glennon. Love you, Glennon.
We do love Glennon. We do love John Glennon. We'll have weekend winners coming up next. We got a busy weekend of playoff hockey, playoff basketball, Tennessee in action on the baseball front. Vanderbilt already got in action last night against Alabama. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now
on ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on the program. A standings update in the competition. Pretty good week last week for the program. Robbie and Ian going 4-2 with their locks. Joe, 3-3, no lock. It's a pretty good week overall for the program, which brings the overall standings. Rex Road remaining in first place, 31-29 overall, 5-5 on his locks, good for 36 points. Ian Safar, 27-33 overall, 8-2 on his locks, 35 points, just one back of Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, 28-32, 5-5 on my locks, 33 points in last place here on the program.
Busy weekend coming up this weekend. And we begin with Tennessee and Kentucky and their baseball series, which gets underway today in Lexington. Rex Road, you're up first. So let us know, who is winning this series between Tennessee and Kentucky?
It's a big one. Very important for the Vols. Very important series going on for Vanderbilt, too, and lost the first one to Bama. I'm going to go with Vols. I think the Vols get it done on the road.
Ian Safar, Tennessee on the road against the Wildcats this weekend.
Yeah, I think I also am going to take Tennessee. I think they're coming off a good series this past weekend, if my research was correct. I will go Tennessee this weekend.
It feels like Tennessee's turned a little bit of a corner here over the last few weeks, and that they're playing more like people thought they were going to play to begin the season. So I will go with the Vols as well to win the series. I'll take it a step further, Joe. Sweep. They're going to sweep Kentucky on the road. Mm. What do you think of that?
Oh, you know, well, that sounds like you're calling it a lock.
Nope. All I need them to do is to win, though. Okay. I got another lock that I'm excited about. We move to Tampa Bay and Montreal coming up in game 6 of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Montreal leads the series 3-2, and they are back home today. Ian Safar, game 6. Who we got between the Lightning and the Canadiens?
Yeah, this has been a fun series, as we've kind of talked about throughout the week here. I think this is where the experience of Tampa comes in the playoffs. Closing out the series is always the tough game, even though it's at home. Got a couple of youngsters, mostly youngsters on Montreal. Give me Tampa and your boy Kucherov to respond and force a game 7.
I am hoping that that happens. I think Montreal is going to win. I just think Montreal has been trending towards being better the last few games. You know, something seems a little bit off with Kucherov in this series. Now, I say that he'll go have 5 points tonight. Vasilevsky let in just a brutal goal for the third goal the other night to lose the game. And I just think that place is going to be rocking. I think the Canadians win and close it out tonight. Joe, Tampa, Montreal, game 6. Who we got?
Canadians lock.
Guarantee.
Tampa's not getting out of that building alive. Not the way it's going to be tonight. Give me Montreal all day long.
I believe that would be 4 consecutive first-round exits for the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is kind of amazing to think about, given what they did earlier this decade.
That is. Is Adam Vinga going to call them out for it?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Joe's sometimes beloved Detroit Pistons taking on the Orlando Magic tonight in game 6. Pistons got a win to stay alive and force a game 7. They're a 3.5-point favorite in this one. Give me the Magic to cover and the Magic to win outright. Orlando gets it done tonight. I'm watching the Orlando news right now on my YouTube feed. They got a free Sunrail ride tonight for these excited Magic fans going to the game. So that's good to know. Magic plus the 3.5 tonight. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. Both things I agree. I think they don't have Franz Wagner. He's got a calf injury. He's not gonna play again. I don't care. Like, the Pistons are. Jalen Duren has just been horrific in this series. Cade Cunningham, huge last game, 45 points. He still has 30 turnovers in his last 4 games. And they just, even without Wagner, I'm going Magic to win outright.
Ian Safar, Pistons favored by 3.5.
I will have faith. No, I think they force a game 7. Give me Detroit. 3.5.
I hope you're right.
They're favored.
I love to lose this one.
They're favored. That always makes me feel like I'm gonna go with the Pistons to cover.
There we go. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
So this series has been absolutely just bonkers. I game to game, no idea what to expect. It's all over the map. And I'm not talking about the Knicks beating the Hawks by a million last night.
There we go.
The Sixers-Celtics is going to a game 7. I mean, the Sixers have won 2 straight and have thumped the Celtics. Celtics are minus 7.5 at home. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to scratch out a win, and we're going to get actually a great game, which we haven't had many in this series. Been blowout, trading blowouts. But give me the Sixers. I'll take those points. I think it's going to be a good game finally, and the Celtics will win a close game.
Tatum left that game, huh?
Yeah.
Tatum left with an injury. So
see how it goes.
There's that too.
Ian, who we got in your first individual selection?
I'm going to go kind of, I don't know, low-hanging fruit for my lock for tonight. I mean, the Braves are playing the Rockies. So I think I'm going to take the Braves -1.5 versus the Rockies tonight as my easy lock. As well, I say easy lock, but of course that never works out. You always try and, you try and, you know, sneak in that lock there, cherry pick a
Rockies
little bit.
Burned me a couple times last year.
You loved the Rockies last year,
and the Braves were coming off a loss. At least the Tigers got one, so
we needed it.
So I'll go with the Braves for a bounce back tonight. I believe it's at Colorado, but -1.5.
Give me the Lakers +3.5 against the Rockets and make it my lock.
Guarantee.
All these people are talking about how the Lakers are going to blow the series and blow the 3-0 lead and lose. They'll win tonight. They're going to win. Or so is it tonight or tomorrow? I can't remember.
I think it is tonight.
I believe it is tonight. They're going to win.
Tonight, yep.
I'll go Lakers +3.5, but I think they're going to win outright. Ian, your second individual selection.
All right, Nashville SC win at Philly Union.
You didn't have faith in them last week.
I did not.
They won anyway in spite of it.
When they won. Then they lost in their I guess the CONCACAF Champions Cup to Tigres on Tuesday, 1-0. Didn't look so great. Surge didn't play. I don't really know his status for this week. It's a road game. Union were good last year. This year they have started off terribly, which hopefully that won't backfire against me. But I'm going to take Nashville SC to get the win this week.
Give me the Minnesota Wild to win game one in Colorado on Sunday. Minnesota continues the momentum. They win game one in Colorado, in Denver, on Sunday. That'll be my my selection there. Joe, your second individual selection.
Okay, so Sabres-Bruins. Are the Bruins -1.5?
That is, I believe it's the Sabres.
Sabres are -1.5?
That's correct.
All right, fine. Give me the Bruins. It's going to be it's a 4-3 game. Give me the Bruins.
Going Bruins +1.5. Against the Sabres. My final pick, I'll stick with the same game. The goal total tonight's 5.5 over. Give me the over. 5.5 for Sabres and Bruins coming up in game 6. Joe, your final individual selection.
Okay, Cavs, Raptors, game 6. Raptors at home are +3.5. Give me the Cavs, and I'll give those points. I think they're going to win this game by about 8 to 10 and end this sucker.
Going Cavs -3.5 against the
Raptors. I thought
about
that one for sure.
Ian, your final individual selection.
I'm going to go back to baseball. I got Yankees -1.5 versus the Orioles today. I'll do a Kuharsky pick.
I'd say making Kuharsky proud.
Yeah.
Yankees -1.5 against the Orioles. I know how on TD came. We just didn't even mention the Mets anymore. We're like, we'll just let you go, man.
I skipped the Mets open this week. Maybe change the mojo.
It's probably a good call. Yeah, the other people on this station make enough fun of him for it, and also we're trying to be sensitive to Willie's feelings too, and
that's true.
Willie and TD together,
that is true. I am very fascinated. Like, Buffalo has been clamoring to get back in the playoffs. They won two games in Boston in this series, go up 3-1. They lose in overtime the other night. Listen, I'm just here to tell you, the building will be rocking if it goes back to a Game 7. If you're a Sabres fan, you want no part of going back to Game 7 at home against the Boston Bruins. I mean, that's setting up for such a Buffalo sports fan moment if it happens that way.
Yeah, you're probably going to get Buffaloed if you get to that. You got to end it. You got to end it right here. You have to.
I would totally agree. Well, I mean, no faith in your Pistons. I expected better for you in this segment.
No, and also I because I did it last week. I did the Pistons will win Game 3 in Orlando lock, and I paid for it. And it's like to me, the better way to go is to bet against your heart, and then you have you cover both sides. Like if I'm wrong on this pick and Ian's right and he gets that point that you and I don't get, I'm fine, because I want the Pistons to win. But at least if they disappoint, as I fully expect them to, I get the point. They're just the matchup is, Jalen Duren, it's mind-boggling. He's about to get a max deal, and he's seriously causing some people to wonder, what the heck, man? How could you play like this after he was – I mean, he's like a third-team All-NBA dude this year.
Yeah.
Like, carried them when Cade Cunningham was hurt and stuff, and he's just – it's incredible how bad he's been.
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo early with 102.5 The Game at Social Cantina in Germantown tomorrow. There'll be music from 3 to 6, drink specials, giveaways, raffles, patio party vibes all day long. Grab your crew. Celebrate Cinco de Mayo the right way at Social Cantina. We will wrap up the show coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Today, Vanderbilt baseball taking on Alabama in Tuscaloosa. First pitch is at 6 o'clock. You can catch all the action on 102.5 The Game. Coverage presented by Gary Force Acura. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, not a lot of love for the Olive Burger today on the program. I would say you have been outnumbered in terms of people not giving the affirmative for that particular option.
Yeah. Well, again, you have to love green olives. I mean, I like when I do, you know, like we make like Greek chicken bowls or whatever. I mean, I load the green olives. Anything that could have green olives, my favorite pizza is loaded with green olives, you know? So if you don't love them, then I 100%, I get it. I get it. You think it's gross. If you do love them, I think there's enough people in the world that the Olive Burger should be a little more widespread than it is. But, you know, I'm just trying to spread, again, awareness, gout, Olive Burgers, how to make meth, you know, for example.
Yeah, good stuff.
yeah, stuff like that. Richard on the YouTube chat is asking about some walleye for one meal and then spurs with us. It's funny you say that, Richard, because on the agenda for tomorrow is some walleye at another one of my favorite places, the Bluegill Grill. So believe you me, my friend, I will be eating some walleye. A very good walleye up here in the state of Michigan.
By the way, quick note, as John points out on the YouTube chat, yes, Vanderbilt did change. The Vanderbilt-Alabama game time today has gone from 6 to 12:30 today due to some potential weather involved tonight. So 12:30 will be the game time today for Vanderbilt and Alabama. So keep that in mind. So it's that time of year in the spring where all these baseball games, I mean, I'd love to see a stat at the end of the year, like how many times these games get moved or the time gets moved up. It's got to be significant, especially down here in SEC country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so it's good that we can inform people. I mean, we've informed people today, I think, of a lot of different things that you should know and that you can do.
I mean, I'd still love to know how this dude was in the building back there in Michigan State. We got to do some sort of internal investigation as to how you get a meth lab going in the middle of a college campus.
Oh, this is a developing story. Trust me. This is not the last we've heard of this one, man. Like, this is, this is like a great, like, you know, I don't know if is Inside Edition still on TV? Probably.
I think
not,
so.
Right? Is it?
I think it is.
This is like one, this is a total segment for that or whatever, you know, one of those like news magazine TV shows, you know. There was going to be a lot of coverage of the Michigan State's version of Walter White here. So
Ian, can I just go ahead and probably assume, and you could let me know if I'm wrong, that Joe's instructions reading off meth lab instructions earlier were clipped up for future use?
Oh, I would say that was a pretty safe assumption. Yes.
So listen, kids, here's how you turn cocaine into a crack rock. No, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, really.
All you were doing was reading the news.
Yeah.
That was the news.
I was reading a paragraph from the Lansing State Journal. It just so happens that I just gave the total the recipe. But it's like for any of you who ever use a Leave D, first of all, if you don't, talk about, to me, it's by far the best thing in terms of knocking out like cold symptoms. It knocks them out for 8 hours at a time.
Oh boy.
But when you get a Leave D, it's in the pharmacy and you have to like sign your name and stuff because, you know, if you get a whole bunch of it, then it could be used for other purposes. Use it for your cold only, please.
This has been quite the educational program here today.
Yeah. Yeah.
We mentioned to begin the show, John Hines and the Minnesota Wild have punched their ticket to round two. A first round exit for Connor McDavid
Leon Draisaitl and the Edmonton Oilers against the Anaheim Ducks last night. So add up another year where it's not going to result in a Stanley Cup for Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, which McDavid was already talking after the game last night. I think the quote he said, which for him is like calling out everybody in the organization, for other people, it's probably a normal quote. But he said last night that they've been an average team all year with high expectations, and you're going to end in disappointment if that's the way that it is. So that quote's going wild in Canada right now.
Yeah, man. So what does this mean? Like, what is the fallout of this?
Well, this is, to me, a perfect example of why he never should have signed this contract. Like, if you're Connor McDavid, even if you wanted to remain in Edmonton, like, to me, you take it back. You take it as long as you could take it, and you get as much information as you can possibly get, and then you make your decision at that time. And it's not like he signed some 8-year deal, so I get it. Like, it's not a huge deal that he signed basically a bridge deal, and that he's going to have another one coming up here in a couple of years. But I just think about what we could be talking about right now if he didn't sign the contract that they got put out in the first round.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Well, and so if you're Edmonton, like what can you do? What can they do to change the math? I know that it's not as simple, but goaltending has been obviously an issue. They have other issues. Is it possible that they go out there and, we haven't really talked about, the Hellebuck stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some serious smoke around Hellebuck, right? I mean, and possibly somebody getting in and a lot of teams possibly getting in and trying to make a move for him.
Yeah.
Would they be part of that?
I mean, I'd probably look into that. I mean, the thing you wonder about, and I think this happens in sports. And a lot of times people don't identify this until it's too late. In most cases, Joe, there's a short window for you to win a championship, right? Like, even if you have great players, it's a short window. Like, Crosby and Malkin, they won a cup in 2009. They didn't win another one again until 16 and 17. Like, they kind of wandered through for a little while, and they were in the playoffs. But, you're getting beat in the first and second round. Like, it's just the fact that, like, if you think you're Edmonton and you're just going to be in the, in the conference final, cup final every year just because you have McDavid and Draisaitl, like, that's not going to be how it is. Like, I think you have to fundamentally change how you're looking at building your team. And because, I mean, it's not working. Like, you have two of the greatest players in the world, but it's not a winning formula, clearly. Like, they can't do it. So you got to change up the way that you're building your team.
Is it as simple as you got those two? You're going to have to make some sacrifices. You're going to have to get younger at some spots and cheaper at some spots.
Yes.
And you have Hellebuck and those two. Is that a Stanley Cup winner?
Maybe. I mean, on D, Bouchard's a great player offensively. I think he's kind of a liability defensively. And they're paying him a ton of money. Like, puts up a lot of points. I don't know that he's necessarily some great winning player come playoff time. Ekholm's not getting any younger. Like, it's just – I think they are a little bit further away than maybe they think they are, even with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on their team. Like, it feels like it's going the wrong way with them. So, they're going to be interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So, it's like – so, if you had a great goaltender with those two and you were – you're deficient elsewhere, it's an interesting –
I'd try it.
I'd try it too, yeah.
I would try.
I don't know that it's going to work, but I'd try it.
Yep. That's going to do it for us this weekend. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend coming up. Ian, have fun golfing out there. Going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. I'll be out a couple of days next week, but I'll be back on Thursday.
Absolutely. Nice. Looking forward to that. Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. Congratulations to Jack Rexroad up here in East Lansing on college graduation. Next man up, coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big now.